Welcome to episode 1363 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. There is widespread confusion in Christian history about what happened to the Sabbath after Jesus' resurrection. Many believe the apostles abandoned the seventh-day Sabbath and replaced it with Sunday worship on the Lord's Day. Many assume Paul taught the Sabbath was no longer binding. Many think keeping the Sabbath is somehow unchristian or a return to Judaism, but this is not what the historical record shows. The apostles, including Paul, continued to keep the seventh-day Sabbath throughout their lives. Sunday worship was added after the apostolic age as a day of corporate worship and remembrance of Christ's resurrection, but it did not replace the Sabbath. The two coexisted in early Christian practice. Understanding this is crucial not just for historical accuracy, but for recovering what the Sabbath truly means in Christian life. When we look at the book of Acts, we see the apostles gathering in the synagogue on the Sabbath, repeatedly, consistently, throughout their entire ministry. Listen to what Luke records.
On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there.
This is Paul and Silas in Philippi. On the Sabbath, they go to a place of prayer. This is not presented as unusual or controversial. This is presented as normal practice. Again in Acts 17 verses 2 and 3.
As was his custom, Paul entered the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures.
Paul's custom, his regular practice. On the Sabbath, he enters the synagogue. He teaches. He reasons from scripture. This is not something he does reluctantly or as a concession to the past. This is his established pattern. And again in Acts 18 verse 4.
Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks.
Every Sabbath. Not occasionally, not grudgingly, but regularly, consistently, as a matter of practice. Paul kept the Sabbath. This is not legalism. This is not Paul trying to earn God's favor. This is a Jewish apostle maintaining the religious practice of his people while also embracing faith in Christ. For Paul, keeping the Sabbath was not incompatible with following Jesus. It was part of his identity as a Jewish believer. So where does the confusion come from? It comes largely from misreading a few passages about first-day worship. The most cited passage is in Acts 20.
On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight.
People read this and conclude, the apostles stopped meeting on the Sabbath and started meeting on Sunday. The first day replaced the seventh day. But this is not what the passage says. It says church members gathered on the first day. It does not say they no longer gathered on the seventh day. It does not say they abandoned Sabbath worship. It says they gathered on the first day. This passage shows Paul gathered with believers on the first day of the week. They broke bread together. Paul taught. But it does not necessarily indicate that this was a worship gathering specifically to celebrate the resurrection, as some would later allege. That this was a replacement for Sabbath gathering. That this became the primary day of Christian worship. That this was even a regular practice. It could have been circumstantial. Paul was leaving the next day, so they gathered when they could. Paul regularly met with people in various contexts, in synagogues on the Sabbath for religious teaching, in marketplaces, in homes, in prisons. Breaking bread together was something believers did regularly. Acts 2 verse 46 mentions daily breaking of bread. A gathering on the first day does not automatically mean first day worship replacing Sabbath, or even resurrection celebration. There are other verses some use to justify a change in worship from the seventh to the first day. Note the following written by Paul in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2.
On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will be needed.
This is often used to suggest first day gathering, worship. But this verse more likely describes a personal, private, and systematic preparation of funds for famine relief in Jerusalem, not a public Sunday worship service. Paul advises believers to calculate their gains on Sunday morning, after the Sabbath ended, and set aside a portion at home to avoid last-minute, disorganized collection when he arrives. Note the King James Version of this text.
Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come.
The phrase, lay by him, in store, literally means to store up in one's own home, not to bring money to a church gathering. The instruction is to deal with business accounting, settling accounts, on the first day to ensure no disorganized collection is needed later. The text does not mention a church service, the Lord's Supper, or a gathering of people. It is a financial directive for charity, not a declaration of a new holy day replacing the Sabbath. Paul encourages believers to give in proportion to how they have been prospered, systematic, planned giving, rather than impulsively. In Revelation 1 verse 10, the Apostle John says this,
"On the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet."
This mentions the Lord's day, which many assume is Sunday. But the text doesn't explicitly say what day this is. Lord's Day could refer to the eschatological day of the Lord, not necessarily a weekly day. It could also reference the Sabbath. If Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, why could the Sabbath not be the Lord's Day? In John 20, verse 19 and 26, Jesus appears to disciples on the first day of the week, after resurrection, then again, a week later. This shows resurrection appearances on the first day, but doesn't describe a worship practice or gathering established by Jesus or the apostles. Then there are these writings from Paul, Colossians 2 verses 16 and 17.
"Therefore let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ."
Paul is likely referring to Old Testament ceremonial laws and sacrificial feasts, not the weekly seventh-day Sabbath. Sabbath days, in this context, refers to ceremonial rest days tied to festivals, which pointed forward to Christ as the fulfillment, while the weekly Sabbath is a permanent creation memorial. Festival Sabbaths were holy convocations on specific dates tied to religious feasts. The Feast of Unleavened Bread had a Sabbath on the first day and seventh day. The Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, was followed by a Sabbath. The Feast of Trumpets was a Sabbath. The Day of Atonement was a Sabbath of solemn rest. The Feast of Tabernacles had a Sabbath on the first day. There was also a Sabbath year. You can read about these Sabbaths in Leviticus chapters 23 to 25. The ceremonial feast days were called Sabbaths because on those days, like the weekly Sabbath, work was forbidden. They were days people ceased from ordinary labor. The common feature that earned them all the name Sabbath was cessation from work, not necessarily the specific rhythm or theological significance of the weekly seventh day. However, there's an important distinction. These ceremonial Sabbaths were tied to specific dates within the religious calendar and were part of the sacrificial system. They involved temple worship, offerings, and priestly functions. The weekly seventh-day Sabbath, by contrast, was universal, cyclical, and part of creation itself. It applied to everyone, servants, aliens, animals, recurred every 7 days without connection to the religious calendar, and was established before the law code. So while they shared the name and the concept of cessation from ordinary work, they were operating on different principles. This distinction becomes crucial when interpreting texts about what aspects of the law are shadows fulfilled in Christ versus what aspects reflect God's creational design. Romans 14 verse 5 is also often cited as Paul saying Sabbath observance is no longer binding.
"One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind."
The term Sabbath is never used in Romans 14, and it is unlikely Paul would contradict his respect for the law by invalidating the Sabbath. It is more likely that the days in this verse are optional, man-designated days, or ceremonial festivals, while the seventh-day Sabbath is a fixed, non-optional commandment. Paul's letters and the book of Acts do not depict the abolition of the Sabbath, but rather a community learning to live in the substance of Christ while honoring the shadows and memorials God woven into creation. By distinguishing between the universal, weekly Sabbath and the ceremonial festival Sabbaths, we see that the fourth commandment was never discarded as a legalistic relic. Instead, it was preserved as a gift, a sanctuary in time that allows the believer to cease from striving and rest in the finished work of Jesus. We explore this further tomorrow. Father, teach us to inhabit the rhythm of your rest so our lives may bear witness to your sovereignty and find their true flourishing in the finished work of your Son. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.